following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And it's a Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan with you here as we're getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, it is that time of year we're making the transition. Everybody at Memorial Day weekend starts talking about the summer, which, of course, means that the spring sports season will be wrapping up. You just heard Mike Will just a little bit ago at the state track meet. We'll have reports from there as well. State tennis is going on. State baseball is wrapping up. The high school sports season is coming to an end. Obviously, the games with the balls and the sticks getting a lot of attention. Nebraska softball team, a heartbreaking loss last night. Big win for the Husker baseball team as well. So there is plenty to talk about, including a great game last night in the IFL. The two top teams really in the division, the Danger and Colorado, hooking up together over at the Heartland Event Center. Tough loss for the Danger as they fall 41-28. And one of the officials from the game, Jim Langan, here to join us. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
Hey, really good. How about you?
Oh, good. And let's start with the game last night. That was a well played. There's a reason that those two teams are kind of seen as the tops in their division.
Yeah, you know, I guess when I look back at it real quick, it was a big plays by Colorado. They had some long touchdown pass plays, and the game was low scoring for indoor football.
Yeah.
You know, there were not a lot of points scored. And it was just one of those games where Nebraska kind of moved the ball, but it would get down to about the 10-yard line, and then they'd stall out and kick a field goal or some things like that. But they did not have that big play. And then also there was a turnover early in the game with Colorado Ice, you know, early, you know, intercepted a pass. Lineman tipped one and ended up catching it, you know, and stopped some drives that way too. So, yeah, it was a well-played game. And late in the game with about, I suppose, 25 seconds to go, it was fourth down and four, and they had a pass that got busted up, and then there's a rule, both teams are out of timeouts, but if they don't get positive yards, you know, you can't kneel down, if you don't get a positive yard, the clock stops. So, you know, the first play, they fumbled, and, you know, quarterback got the ball back, but it did stop the clock. Well, the next play, they're blitzing, of course, because if you can stop him without gaining positive yards, of course, once you get through the blitz, guess what? This guy goes, you know, 40 yards for a touchdown or whatever it was.
Yeah, so
that's
late,
how the game ended, yeah.
Yeah, so that the late touchdown made it 41-28, but the game was obviously a whole lot closer to that. The Danger will be back in action a week from Sunday at home. A great couple of games last night. I stayed up a little bit later last night than I probably should have, watching both the softball and the baseball games for the Huskers last night, and boy, it was a tough way for the ladies to lose it early in the morning. In fact, I had gone to bed, I gotta admit it, and just kind of set the DVR so I could watch it later, and Alabama hits the walk-off home run, but the four runs Alabama scored, all unearned. And you know that with baseball, with softball, if you give up unearned runs, errors are just absolutely, you know, walks and errors just absolutely kill you. And the four runs Nebraska gave up were all unearned until that seventh inning when they had the leadoff home run that tied it at five and forced the extra inning. So you just can't play the number two team in the country and give up four unearned runs.
You know, it was kind of, I watched the end of that game. In fact, I listened to it on the radio on the way home. And then I went in and watched the game. And Nebraska, what was interesting is, you know, you want your teams to compete well in the NCAA and give them a good effort, you know, like you said. And for, you know, like Nebraska football, they went down and played Georgia in the bowl game and won and, you know, ended the season on a good note. And, you know, our basketball team, you know, beat Wisconsin. And then when they went to the NCAA tournament, they probably didn't play that well, you know, and got beat by Baylor. But this team, you know, played really well. And, you know, the one thing that was interesting is you had the chance to win when they hit the home run in the bottom of the seventh. And the eighth, ninth, tenth, all those innings, if you look back at Alabama was making chances to score. Nebraska wasn't getting any base runners on.
No, no.
I mean, it was not something where you're going, ah, dang, just we were one hit away, or we just weren't getting anybody on base. And we're just hanging on and hoping, you know, that maybe we could find somebody could make an error, do something for Alabama. But they just didn't give us anything. And Nebraska did make some good plays. I mean, there's some outs at the plate, you know, that kept them in the game. You know, so there were some other things that happened in that game. So I know Nebraska made some errors and gave up some earned runs, but they did dodge a lot of bullets, too.
They made a lot of plays when they needed to.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, and also when you have a 4-0 lead after two innings in college softball, usually you're not going to give up that lead because there's not a lot of scoring at that level in college softball. And Nebraska certainly played well enough, but then made those mistakes. And I guess when you play a really good team like Alabama, the pressure kind of builds up and eventually the pot will boil over. And that's really kind of what happened to the ladies last night in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and you know, I think in the bottom of the 10th inning, there was a play where they had a leadoff double. And they bunted one back to the third baseman, and the third baseman fires to the shortstop who covered it. And that was a big play because there would have been a runner on third with one out. And you talk about making plays. You know, that was one that was making a play that gives your team a chance to win. And what happened, the batch just went silent there in those last innings. But, hey, the Huskers, you know, I mean, when they won the game against Ohio State, baseball, I'm switching gears here.
Yeah.
When they won the game against Ohio State, you know, talk about, you know, a team that both games were 50-50. In fact, they weren't 50-50. I mean, the Ohio State getting up 6-0, you coming back and winning, it's not a 50-50 deal, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but they're one yesterday, so they've got had a couple one-run games, and they're in a decent position right now to probably get a 2 or 3 seed, you know, in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they're well positioned for that, and there's been 8 games played so far in the Big Ten tournament, and in those 8 games, 6 of the 8 games have been decided by one run. The other two are both Indiana wins. So we're going to talk a little Indiana baseball with a writer with the Bloomington newspaper here in just a little bit. But, you know, right now Indiana is kind of just a little bit different than everybody else in the Big Ten tournament. But Nebraska does what Nebraska does, and they always seem to find a way to win. You know, the baseball game last night, I really had the sense that they were the better team. And maybe it's because I got red hats and I don't have too many green hats with an S on it, you know. So maybe I'm a little biased, but it just seemed to me that Nebraska had more opportunities, played a little bit better, pitched a little bit better, hit a little bit better, was just a little bit better. But sometimes baseball, hockey, soccer, football, you name the sport, sometimes the best team doesn't win. And I was a little worried that maybe that was going to happen to Nebraska when they gave up those two runs and they were tied 2-2. But again, Nebraska does what Nebraska does. They find a way to scratch that other run and then play good enough defense that they go on and win it.
Yeah, and you're talking about baseball, you know, kind of you're looking at, okay, how many balls were hit hard? You know, how many balls did this team hit hard? How many balls did that team really hit hard? And usually that's kind of determines who the winner is. But you know as well as I do, sometimes you hit those right at people. And other times the ball you hit not very hard sometimes just finds a little hole there too. So you're right. You know, sometimes when you get those 2-2 games, it gets down to, you know, an error or a base running blunder or some things like that.
Yeah, some little thing will jump up and bite you when you're better and you're, I don't want to say dominating, but they were playing a little bit better. And it gets you kind of that craw in the throat. But with Nebraska baseball, it always seems like whatever they're going to need to do.
Well, this is this team this year, that's the way they play. This is who they are, and this is how they're going to try to beat you, but that's what we have, and they're not going to go out and hit a bunch of home runs. Let's be honest about that.
Yeah, and they're not going to win 12-6. Yeah. You know, they're not going to win that slugfest, and they're not going to do that, but they are. It always seems like they're going to find some way to kind of win that game, and they do a great job of that. So the Big Ten baseball tournament sets an attendance record, and we've only played half of it. I mean, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this here in a little bit, but it seems to me the Big Ten tournament should have found a home. They should play it where they play the national championship. Take a look at the attendance. And Nebraska's going to be good enough that they're going to fill the seats. They're going to be in there often enough. And it's amazing to me. They had 11,000 people at the game last night, 22,000 over the course of 2 days, and they still got, well, 3 days left. And to me, it's just amazing that why would you ever want to have this tournament anywhere else than someplace where you're probably going to double the previous record for attendance?
Yeah, and you know, and let's be honest about this. If Nebraska would have gotten beat, you know, I mean, and not in the tournament, but right now,
yeah.
I mean, people are going to attend this thing, and it's going to be pretty exciting. You're exactly right. So I agree with you about, you know, what you're saying there about, yeah, you know, finding a home. Yeah, at least every other year. I mean,
yeah, and again, they should have a chance, you know, maybe every other year. Maybe it isn't necessarily fair to have it with Nebraska as kind of the home team every year. But let's face it, if you want to sell seats, there's the place to put it. We need to take a break. We're going to step away for a little bit. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Husker recruiting. We'll talk basketball. We'll talk football. And we'll talk with Josh Harvey when we come back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly cloudy. We cannot rule out some showers and storms. High is 74. Tonight, we'll continue with cloudy skies and a chance of showers and storms with a low near 60. And tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, we're always talking, it seems, Husker sports, and obviously recruiting this time of year is instrumental. And this is T&L Husker Recruiting Update, brought to you, of course, by T&L Irrigation Systems. T&L Center Pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every T&L irrigation system. They've learned that over the years. To assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today. Performing that basic maintenance in the off-season helps pay you back when that summer heat arrives. And we know that's coming up right around the corner. So call your independent T&L dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. T&L irrigation systems are easier on you and easier for a lifetime. So time now to have our recruiting update. Kind enough to join us is going to be Josh Harvey. And Josh from the Big Red Report and Scout.com. Josh, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Been a long time. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always good to hear from you. We can talk both basketball and football. They're kind of an ongoing thing, obviously. How important in the off season? You know, there's all these camps and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, nobody's playing high school basketball games that count. Nobody's playing any football games that kind of count. How much recruiting? How much do you still kind of go out there and hit the recruiting trail during the summer? Do the coaches and do you guys?
Well, I mean, for football right now, it's really crucial because we're in the spring evaluation process where coaches are able to go to high schools and you know, this is one of the debates in the state of Nebraska. Should there be spring football? Well, right now, coaches are going all across the country, going to spring practices, checking out recruits, potential offer guys, and sometimes, you know, seeing a guy and making an offer. Now, they can't actually make contact with a player, but they can make contact with a coach. They can tell that coach, hey, have your player give me a call. And we're seeing Nebraska football offers left and right now is you know, they're hitting the road really hard.
So they can't actually, the coaches can't call the players, but the players can call the coaches. Is that still available at this time of year?
Well, there's certain time periods. And I think, I can't remember exactly. I mean, they change and whatnot. I know that players can right now contact coaches as much as they want. And so obviously, you know, if you're wanting an offer, a guy, you tell your head coach, hey, have your kid give me a call. The coaches might be allowed one phone call to recruit per week right now. I can't exactly remember where those time frames fall. Like I say, they change, it seems like, every year. But, I mean, usually at this time of year, you know, they find a way to get in communication with the kids somehow.
Hey, Josh, Jim Lang, and our listeners out there would probably be interested in knowing, of the 50 states, how many of them have a spring football where they go out and have like a two-week or a three-week or what the time period? About how many states do that?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. I do know this. The power states out there, the Texases, the Georgias, the Floridas, the Californias, the Louisianas, they all have spring football. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of the offers go in those areas because that's where Nebraska's spending the most of their time. If you do an NFL draft breakdown over the last 3 years, you know, those are the type of states where the NFL drafts are players are coming from as well. And so Nebraska's really been, it seems like, heavily involved in Cali and Texas and Florida and even now Georgia with Coach Warren.
Joining us here is Josh Harvey from Big Red Report. You can find it, obviously, nebraska.scout.com, as he is the one of the main recruiting prognosticators, reporters out there. Josh, you guys say that Nebraska right now, their 2015 class with those 11 commits is number 9 in the country in terms of recruiting rankings for 2015 and second in the Big Ten behind Penn State. What is so strong about this class that so far, you know, they're not signed, sealed, and delivered just yet, that's so strong about the 2015 class? Because 11 commits is not that large of a number.
No, it's not. But, I mean, when you're comparing it to the rest of the country right now, Nebraska's, you know, I would say on the upper half as far as the number of commitments. Usually that's not the case, but I think the 500-mile radius is so strong this year, and Nebraska's done such a good job that they were able to land a couple guys early. I mean, this class is really ranked well because of, you know, to be honest, a couple guys. I mean, you look at the Eric Lee and Avery Anderson. Both defensive backs out of Colorado, both are four-star guys. And then you have a defensive tackle out of Missouri, the Davis twins, but I'm talking about specifically Carlos Davis. I mean, they've done a really, really nice job in this 500-mile radius. And 11 commitments, when you're comparing it to the rest of the country, and specifically the Big Ten, is actually a higher number.
Hey, will Nebraska be looking you know, on the defensive side of the ball a little bit more this year, or on the offense, or do you think it's 50-50?
You know, right now I kind of think it's 50-50. I'm going to guess that they go out to about 18 or 19 recruits. I think we broke it down, and it looks like they have about 15 or 16 scholarships available at this point, depending on, you know, what walk-ons get one, whether Alex Lewis gets one, which I have to think he does. Now, every year attrition happens, whether a guy decides he wants to transfer, whether a guy gets in a little trouble. Every year we manage to find scholarships open up. I think last year, if you would have told me, you know, this time of year that Nebraska would be at 24 at the end of the 2014 class, I would have probably believed it, but I had a hard time understanding how they got there. And so, you know, I think they'll probably hit around 18 or 19 recruits, and I really think it will be kind of evenly spread across the board. At this point, they have quite a few defensive backs. I think we're going to see some offensive linemen still join the class based on the fact that there's been so many offers at the position in the last couple weeks. And really, to be honest, I think Nebraska's put themselves in a pretty good position, not only with the rest of this class, but with what they have on the roster currently. They can kind of go out. They have a little flexibility to kind of go out and just land the best guys on the board. You know, we hear about that in the NFL draft so much, whether you draft for need or the best guys available. And I think Nebraska, with their depth and with the guys they currently have in this class, they set it up to say, hey, we can go and we can take another wide receiver or another quarterback if we want to, if somebody's interested, because they literally, you know, they're set up really well to just get the best guys.
Josh, with the footprint changing, you know, Nebraska used to recruit kind of the footprint of the old Big 12 conference. Now that they're in the Big 10, that has kind of changed their footprint and changed kind of who they're recruiting against. Some truisms are still out there. There's a lot of great football players in the state of Florida. And you have kind of written that Nebraska is starting to make even more inroads into the state of Florida, most notably going to St. Thomas Aquinas High School down in Florida, getting a defensive back. Is Nebraska kind of going back to, you know, finding new grounds to kind of harvest great football players? Is that kind of changing for them?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think the biggest thing, to be honest, the biggest differences I've seen is it takes a while for assistant coaches to kind of get the trust of the high school football coaches in a specific area. And, you know, we saw Nebraska start laying the groundwork in some of those states like Cali, like Florida, and I think they're laying the groundwork now in Georgia with Coach Warren. But, I mean, if you're a position coach and you're out on the road recruiting, you can't just show up at a high school and say, hey, give me some of your best players. I think it takes time. I think it takes time and trust. I think if you can get a guy in an official visit, you know, even if he doesn't necessarily want to come to your school down the road, you know, he might have another teammate that you offer a couple years younger, and he might ask him about Nebraska. And he'll be like, yeah, it was a great visit. That place is awesome. I think the head coaches, too, want to know that their kid is going to a school where they're going to be taken care of. And I think that trust factor between the recruiter and the head coach is crucial. And so, you know, we saw a guy like Coach Kaczynski get into Florida a little bit more. We've seen guys like Coach Fisher get into California. Tim Beck obviously has his Texas ties. And now we're seeing it with Coach Warren in Georgia, where a place he's been before, but it's going to take him a little time to convince high school coaches, hey, you know, I'm in Nebraska for the long haul. We're going to take care of good kids there. And so I think the biggest reason we're seeing success, you know, in a state like Florida or California is just because those coaches have been there a while now and they've really kind of set up their roots and they're starting to benefit from it.
Yeah, that you make a good point, and I think that's very true about people when they take that risk, because you know it's a two-way street here when you're talking about recruiting, and you know, and when you talk about athletes, you know, like you have a defensive back, and you get this kid, hey, you know, I think I'm going to be a free safety, but let's say that Nebraska does have a great free safety, that kid could always move over and play like a corner or something like that.
Yep.
But when you recruit a quarterback or a field goal kicker, you know, those guys don't get a lot of reps unless they're on first team. And, you know, that's why you get these transfer situations, which is good. It is really good. In fact, it's too bad they have to wait as long as they do sometimes, because if you're the third best field goal kicker for the University of Nebraska, but you could be the best field goal kicker, for instance, Kansas, you know, you'd just soon play, you know, because you're not going to get a lot of reps, you know, being that deep where you could, you know, like I said, an offensive right guard, you know, if he has to, he can move to center or a left tackle or maybe get to play somewhere.
Yeah, it seems like anytime we have a transfer news, fans, and I'm not just talking about a Nebraska fan base, but all over, you know, kind of get on the kid about, oh, he must not like competition and whatnot. But
I know if I was 18 or 19 years old and it looked like it was going to be a while for me to possibly, you know, make an impact and I could go to a school where I could make an impact, that's definitely going to interest me. And I think we see it more at the skill positions, maybe more than the offensive line or the defensive line. I will say this. I'm really impressed with the way Nebraska handles their practices as far as practice reps. And I think that kind of helps keep guys maybe a little more satisfied than other programs that I've covered. Because really Nebraska will go three, even four deep on offense and defense and get those third string guys almost as many reps as a first string guy. And coming from Texas, covering some programs down there, I can say this. They don't really do that. Like you said, it's all about the first team reps. Maybe you get your second team guys a little work, and then the third and fourth team guys are just kind of forgotten about. Nebraska really doesn't do that, and they really try and keep those guys involved, and I think it's probably kept some guys, some of the higher profile names that we've seen over the years that have been stuck on the third and fourth team happy to the point where they haven't transferred out.
Yeah, and you know, and like you say, you could be a second team running back, and you're still going to get to play. And get some carries in that football game, or, you know, a defensive back that maybe is the sixth best defensive back, you know, he's going to get to play. He's going to get some reps, even in the games, you know, on third down and long, he may come in a nickel package or something. So, yeah, yep. Good point.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and not just practice, but I think game reps, too. We've seen some of the, over the years, how many wide receivers deep they've gone. Coach Fisher, it seems like, has been okay with going, you know, eight or nine deep. And a running back, too. And they're going to have to do their best job ever, I think, at running back this year, because not only do you have to feed the guy named Amir Abdullah a possible Heisman candidate, but you got three running backs behind him who I literally think could start at the majority of college football programs across the country this year.
Speaking with Josh Harvey from the Big Red Report at Scout.com, and you mentioned earlier, Josh, a little bit about transfers. I think Nebraska might be getting what at one time was a pretty highly thought of wide receiver from Washington. Demoria Stringfellow has been granted his release, and you guys are thinking that he might be making his way to Lincoln.
Yeah, all of our sources on the West Coast, multiple sources have indicated that Nebraska's kind of in the lead. I know Nebraska is very interested in landing him. He's an NFL-type wide receiver, right? And those just don't come along very often, especially for Nebraska. They just haven't been able to land those type of guys over the years. I think they've had guys develop into really nice wide receivers and guys who are borderline NFL players. I think Kenny Bell is an example of that. But Stringfellow is one of those All-American types that when he comes in, you just look at him as a freshman and go, yeah, that guy's going to be playing in the league in 4 years. And I think he proved at Washington in year one that he's very, very talented. A lot of his damage on the stats came, you know, in the last 4 to 5 games. He would be a very nice replacement if they were able to land him for a guy like Kenny Bell in the 2015 year, because he'll have to sit out 2014. But he does have that redshirt available. So if he lands at Nebraska, he'll have 3 years of eligibility. And to be honest, he's a talented enough wide receiver that if he does a lot of damage in year one and year two, he might not make it 3 years.
Good point. Hey, Josh, can we change gears real quick and talk basketball real fast?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I was going to ask you this. I know in nationally, I'm going to say, and I just threw this figure out, about 400 guys that are pretty good college Division I players are going to transfer. And some of those might transfer to another Division I, and some will go Division II because they just kind of looked at Division I and thought, hey, you know, I'm not, you know, this isn't quite me, but I can definitely get some playing time and maybe even be an impact player in Division II. Nebraska had a chance at this guy, and he ended up, he's from Louisiana, he ended up going to UNLV. Do you think he looked at the Nebraska roster and thought he wasn't going to get much playing time? Or what's your feeling? Or do you think just UNLV just sold him?
I think UNLV just sold him. And I know his parents were really interested in Nebraska from an academic standpoint. But Jordan, I don't know what it was, but as soon as he dropped SMU and added UNLV to his list and had them as his last official, it kind of seemed like he was headed there. And I never want to bag on a kid for making his decision, but I kind of scratched my head and thought to myself, yeah, UNLV, it's got more of a storied history when it comes to basketball than Nebraska, but in the moment, I just don't see why you wouldn't want to be at Nebraska. And I think even though he's a shooting guard and you got a guy like Petaway on the roster, I think Jordan Cornish would have made an impact next year. I think he would have played in his first year. And so I'm kind of scratching my head wondering about it, considering everything, the turmoil that UNLV's had over the last couple of years, a lot of transfers out. I don't understand it, but, you know, good luck to him. And it was definitely a blow to Nebraska, as they still have a couple open spots in this class.
Well, Josh, you mentioned kind of a blow to Nebraska. How is recruiting going for the basketball team right now?
You know, I think it's been a little slower than they probably wanted. I think 2015's class is going well, but I think rounding out the 2014 class, I don't know what they're going to do, whether they're going to have a spot open. I know they have a recruit in this week, according to Lincoln Journal Star. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know much about him. All I know is he's from the Washington, D.C. area. I like his highlights. I don't know, you know, how many big-time offers he has and whatnot. Scout really hasn't talked to him much. But, you know, I like saving one scholarship because you never know who might, you know, come available, like you said, on the transfer wire, and it might be a good fit. But you know, they've had, I don't want to say they've had their struggles, but they've had a hard time trying to land a really, really good high school prospect. And I think it's going to take a little bit more time. I think one more year of what Nebraska did this year, and I think he'll be better next year. I think they'll have an easier time landing those high school kids, the top 150 talents, the top 200 talents. I think at this point still it's a little too new. And I think as the assistant coaches kind of, once again, like we go back to football, you know, they establish those roots a little bit better. I think they're going to have a better time landing some of those high school kids. But I'll say this, if I wouldn't be surprised if you know, they have one late pickup here and then maybe save a scholarship for either a transfer guy or a possible JUCO guy that comes available late.
Well, Josh, you know, we could talk recruiting all day. Unfortunately, we can't. Is there something we haven't brought up? Is there something that you really kind of feel that the folks out there should know?
Well, not really. I will say this. Watch June in Nebraska football. I mean, you got the two camps. They have two big red weekends, which I think is going to be huge. The last couple of years, they've had commitments out of those. It's a very unique kind of invite-only weekend, and they're having two of them this year because they couldn't get enough kids to agree on one weekend, and it might work out really well because it will give the coaches a little more time to have individual time with each guy. Yeah, so yeah. Watch June. I wouldn't be surprised if there was three or four pickups in the month of June. This class kind of gets inches closer to being full, something we haven't seen, you know, this early in a long time in Nebraska.
All right, Josh, hey, it's always great to hear from you. We need to do this more often.
Hey, definitely, guys. Call me anytime.
All right, Josh, really appreciate it. That's Josh Harvey from the Big Red Report at scout.com. They have, it doesn't matter what team you have, scout.com has a reporter that really follows them, and Josh does a great job taking a look at the Huskers at BigRedReport/scout.com. If you just type in nebraska.scout.com, you'll be able to find all the stuff that Josh does, and he does a great job. This Husker recruiting update brought to you by T-Nell Irrigation Systems, proven technology that is easier on you for a lifetime. And, you know, recruiting is always going on. Both basketball, football, there's always something going on recruiting. And I think Nebraska it had a great recruiting class when it came to basketball, and it appears that this year's class, next year's class, already in great shape for football for the Big Red next year.
Yeah, I think that when I look at what they're saying about some of the players we're getting, it looks like, you know, our defensive side of the ball, we're starting to recruit some really nice players on this defensive side. And also, I kind of like where our offensive line's going, the starters for next year. I think our offensive line's going to be a little bit better than people think they are. And that is really good because we need to protect our quarterback.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, that you're only as good as your quarterback, and you can't be a great college or pro team without that great quarterback, as you can't have a great Memorial Day weekend without something that you put on the grill. You just can't do that. And Memorial Day weekend is here, so today, tomorrow, you need to head to Troutman's for all your grilling needs. Fresh from the smokehouse, they have cherry bomb brats. Oh, the cherry bomb brats are so good. Chili cheese dogs for your big weekend. Husker tailgate if you're heading down down to Omaha, you can still do a little tailgating out there before the baseball games, or do it on your back deck or at the lake, whatever you're going to do. You got to head into Troutman's. Carrie's just made some snack sticks with a jalapeno cheddar sausage, which fits perfectly in any tackle box or golf bag. Plus, they have ribs, brisket, they have pork butts, and if you want to smoke them yourself, they've got everything you need, ribs, the pork. They got it all fresh from the smokehouse. And don't forget, they have the Polish dogs, the hot brats, the wieners. At Troutman's, there's always that huge selection of fresh and smoked sausage to choose from. And if you're into grilling seafood, they've got that for you as well. Certified Angus beef, custom-cut meat selection at Troutman's. The service is always friendly and personal, and there's always someone at the counter to help you with your purchase. Unlike those grocery store meat departments, they got that great personal attention and a great selection to choose from. And don't forget their famous barbecue baked beans. You know, I got that little side grill on my grill. Just kind of warm up the beans outside while you're making the rest of the food. It is so good. You need to head in to Troutman's Quality Meats, as they've got USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef. And, oh, it's always so good there.
Hey, Randy, when Doug does this advertisement for Troutman's, he does it. I'm saying from a 1 to 10, I'm going to give him like an 8. When you do it, it's a 10. I mean, I can see. This is already kind of dangerous. You're just sitting by here. Are you going to be here for the next 10 minutes? You're going to get in the car and drive those blocks.
My wife says, what are we doing for lunch? I think I have an idea.
Yeah, I think
we might grill something real quick. But before we do that, we have the opportunity to talk a little bit of the Big Ten baseball tournament. Joining us now is Dustin Dporak from the Bloomington Herald Times. And Dustin, we talked to him a lot about all sorts of different sports. Obviously, follows Indiana. And right now, Dustin, kind enough to join us from Omaha and the Big Ten tournament. Dustin, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's always great to hear from you. We were talking about it earlier. 8 games played so far in the Big Ten tournament, and twice a team has won by more than one run, and that's been Indiana. Is Indiana the class of the Big Ten when it comes to baseball?
Well, yeah, and obviously, the interesting question is going to be see what they, how they do match up against Nebraska. And obviously, the defending champs in a tournament and regular season, and won the regular season by 3 games this year. So, all the numbers, all accounts do say that they are. But I mean, they do still have to beat, to win this thing, they still have to beat Nebraska in Nebraska. And obviously, the home field advantage has been pretty significant. I don't know that, I think there's been 22,000 fans at this thing so far, and I would venture to say I wouldn't be surprised if 20,000 of those at least have been Nebraska fans, so it's not going to be easy to beat them at something that's pretty close to their home field. But, I mean, they do obviously, they have 8, just out of the 13, all Big Ten first team picks, 8 of them were Indiana guys, led the league in ERA, I think second or third in the league in runs, I think second in the league in batting average at this point. They are obviously as their potential national seed, number 4 in the RPI. All numbers say they are, doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win this thing. But they have clearly had the best season. I mean, I think 21-3 in the league. I think I want to say it's about 27 of the last 30, something like that, maybe 28 of their last 31 games. They've been on just an unbelievable roll at this point. Offense, pitching, defense, everything has kind of come together for them.
Dustin, no doubt Indiana's the best team in the tournament. And I agree with you. Hey, somebody maybe can get them. Maybe somebody will get through there. I'm not saying Nebraska's going to get to them. I hope they do, and it looks like they're in a good situation to get there. But Indiana, by far, what has Indiana done that has made them so dominant? Because, being in the North, they're one of the premier programs in the nation right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, from a building the program standpoint, obviously the facility was huge. I mean, that was really important for them to get just a big time, big league facility that I think cost them like $13 million to build or something like that. But they were playing on, Stembauer Field, the one they had before, up through 2012 was, not even a good high school field, basically. I mean, it was, it was a wreck. I mean, the landscaping on it was horrendous, and they were getting maybe 100 fans to games. Now they're getting 2,000-3,000 at the new ballpark. That helped recruiting a lot to put this team together, because they knew this thing was coming. And they got a couple, good breaks recruiting the team. Sam Travis and Kyle Schwarber were guys that weren't really, highly sought after, and they're both going to be, top 3-round picks at worst. Schwarber's going to be a first-round pick for sure. Travis was obviously Big Ten Player of the Year, so you kind of start with that core. Got a couple other guys, Dustin DeMuth is a potential All-American. So, I mean, they got lucky, you know, on recruiting things. But as far as this year is concerned, I mean, the pitching staff has been the most impressive thing, and all those guys all as well weren't necessarily highly recruited either. Joey Donato has just been a marvel over 4 years as a kid who doesn't even touch 90 miles an hour with a fastball, and his, you know, breaking stuff is good but not overpowering, but still just beats you, you know, somehow, some way. And the rest of the pitching staff really came together. Christian Morris is a kid that's come a long way in a year. Brian Cordy was a left-handed specialist up until about mid to late March, and they just kind of, you know, he was sort of thrust into duty to be a weekend starter, and he's been, you know, unbelievable. And I think, you know, the Big Ten Network came up with a stat last night. It's been, I think, 49 straight starts that Indiana's starting pitching has given up 3 runs or less. You know, Indiana's starter in each game has given up 3 runs or less. I mean, that's an unbelievable number for a group that doesn't necessarily have that one overpowering guy that you look at and say, wow, that's a pro right there. You know, I don't know if any of the three guys are going to be, you know, top 20 round picks at any point in time. Maybe Morris will. But, you know, they've still got Bion at the bullpen's been unbelievable. The defense has picked up a lot this year. That's been an issue for them in previous seasons. Defense this year is, you know, I think they're like second or third in fielding percentage. It's been the best they've had. So it's really all come together. I mean, they've got an offense that you can't, you know, there's not anybody 1-7 that's an easy out. And even the 8-hole guy, Nick Ramos, has had a really good tournament so far. Tim O'Connor's actually had some big hits. So really the offense has been clicking all the way around. Defense has been fine. Pitching has, you know, just found a new level this year, even again without guys that are, you know, have mind-blowing stuff. So it's really, you know, a lot of things are firing for them.
Dustin Dvorak from the Bloomington Herald-Times, kind enough to join us, talk a little Indiana baseball. It took a while for the offense to get going last night. They eventually scored the 5 runs against Michigan, but they had to rely on some pretty good pitching from Christian Morris over the first 7 innings. Only gave up 1 hit, in those, and that was in the sixth, I think, that he had. Where is the pitching rotation set up? You've kind of mentioned how deep the pitching is for Indiana. If Indiana is able to win in one game, obviously they would be better positioned for the championship game on Sunday, but where is the kind of their pitching at right now?
Well, they're obviously, they'll go to their number three guy in Brian Cordy, you know, he's been, you know, they've kept him to 5 innings a lot, but he's, you know, again, just a solid guy. Just has really come a long way in terms of using multiple pitches. Was usually just big on just spot fastball as that sort of left-handed relief guy that they had last year. You know, he was the guy that came in when you needed to beat a left-hander, just get one guy out. That was Cordy, and I think he only threw like, he had like 16 appearances in like 17 innings last year. This year he's, you know, had to really extend a lot, but he's been very good. He's really learned to locate, you know, curveball, slider, and you know, a really good changeup to right-handers as well. And this has always had just really good, you know, fastball velocities right around like 91, 92, and can spot it really well. So that's been big for them. And he's, you know, he's a guy that can get you through 5 or 6, has been really solid at that, get a lot of ground ball outs. And they can, this is a day where they'll extend the bullpen a little bit more, try to get 4 innings out of those guys. You know, they've been able to get through pretty well, obviously, the first 2 days, and they get a day off. So really, I think everybody's available. I don't think anybody's pitched more than 2 innings so far. So that helps them a lot, that they'll be able to get probably 4 innings of relief on Saturday, if Cordy goes 5, and maybe, you know, 3 if he goes 6. After that, Sullivan Stadler is their number 4 guy, their midweek guy. And, you know, he's had some big outings. I think he's beaten Louisville twice. I don't know if he got the win in both of those, but he had solid starts in both of those games. You know, it's pretty important times as well that they kind of needed a big RPI win. You know, he's a young kid, you know, really good sort of overarm, I think 12 to 6 curveball, you know, with decent fastball velocity. So, I mean, he's a guy that can beat you. Once they get past that, obviously, that's kind of the key thing for Indiana going into this tournament is, you know, Tracy Smith said, hey, you know, we've got a regional, you know, after this regardless. We're not going to overextend the pitching staff. We're not going to pitch anybody on short rest. You know, if they happen to lose on Saturday, it obviously changes a lot, you know, in terms of how they're going to approach, you know, pitching, you know, if they were even to play, you know, 2 more games. So they want to get out of this 1-4 one way or another. That's kind of the big, you know, the biggest, most important thing to them. But they do have 2, you know, starters that can beat you. It's not their best guys, but, you know, it's guys that can win. And certainly they can go to, you know, that excellent bullpen and, you know, get by even if they don't get, you know, 7 or 8 out of the starter at this point.
Yeah, it sounds like your pitching's really deep, and that, of course, that's where it starts anyway. As long as you got people that can get you out, and right now you haven't had that situation where, you know, you've had that runner at second and third, and somebody needs to come in and get this one guy out. You haven't had that, so you've just stayed ahead of the game so much in advance. I want, changing gears just a little bit, Nebraska, the people attending, because most of this is Nebraska people that are attending these games. You know what I mean? But when you look at our crowds and what Nebraska does, talk a little bit about that. Because I know years ago, we went down to South Bend, Indiana for a football game, and there were more people that were wearing red in South Bend, Indiana, which is almost unreal to have something like that occur. Talk a little bit about the Nebraska people and the fans.
Yeah, no, I was took a chance yesterday, mostly because if you're in that press box at TD Ameritrade, the air conditioner is just kicking the entire time, and you just need to get out of there because it's freezing. I went and watched the second half of the Nebraska-Michigan State game, found kind of not a table or stand-up thing, just just sitting behind home plate so I could just be outside. But also just got to really experience the crowd at that point. And man, they get loud. I mean, they're not close to packing the place because TD Ameritrade is pretty humongous, and they probably, Nebraska, the fans are probably getting, maybe half, maybe, 3/8 or whatever of the place filled. But I mean, man, I mean, it blows up whenever Nebraska strikes somebody out or gets a hit or whatever. I mean, they really get behind them. And that is a potential game changing thing that you have that much momentum. And it's so much more than anybody else is here, obviously, because it's a really, really long trip. I mean, it took me about 11 hours to get here. So, that's a really big significant advantage. Is that not only is it a big crowd, it's a crowd that makes a lot of noise, and it feels really loud down there when Nebraska makes a big play. So it's definitely a big momentum factor for Nebraska. It definitely I imagine it helps. It's going to help them a lot. Certainly willed them, I think, to the comeback against Ohio State. They were down 6-0 in that game. And, you could feel the electricity in there. It definitely got going when Nebraska started hitting, and it seemed like it came down on Trace Dempsey's head a lot in that game when he just couldn't find the play, and that just allowed them to just make a huge comeback in that ninth inning. So, I mean, it's a force. It's something that matters in this tournament.
Final minute here with Dustin Dvorak of the Bloomington Herald-Times. Two-point question here, Dustin. One, to me it's unfortunate that Nebraska and Indiana never got a chance to play each other in the regular season. Two, if Nebraska and Indiana, neither one's guaranteed a spot in the finals just yet, if they get together, what is, besides the crowd, of course, what would be the recipe for success for Nebraska against Indiana?
Well, the thing is, I'm not even totally sure who Nebraska's going to pitch, so that's the big thing. If they get somebody that can, they just got to keep the offense off balance and stay at, just keep it that way throughout a game. Obviously, the tough part for Indiana is, obviously, Michigan and Adcock did a phenomenal job of keeping them off balance yesterday, and you can get them frustrated, especially in this park. I mean, I know Sam Travis, I think, after he hit that ball to the wall in the first inning, I think he was just mind blown as to how that thing didn't get out, and I think that was a big reason why he struck out the next three times he was up, because it just got in his head. Kyle Schwarber, up until he hit that ball out, has been really frustrated in this park. So if you can keep them off balance, that obviously goes a long way, because that offense can, beat you in so many different ways. But you've got to be able to, keep it that way throughout the lineup, because as much as the leadoff hitter in Casey Rodriguez and, the two bottom two guys, Nick Ramos and Tim O'Connor, don't have great numbers, if you make a mistake, they can beat you. If you relax when you get to those guys, and you make a mistake, that causes you big problems, because then you get back to the top of the lineup again. So that's really big for whoever's, pitching against Indiana, just to make sure they don't, bore through the middle of that order, and don't relax when you get to the bottom of it. Make sure you still get the big, the big outs. They got to defend well and just get to, Indiana pitching early. If you can get a lead, early on, that's the best way to beat them. Indiana can certainly come back on you. They've got the offense and the firepower. But I think their record is crazy when they score the first run. It's not nearly as good when they don't. So that's big. Just jump on them early. And, obviously, Indiana, again, will be pitching a young guy in that one. Sullivan Stadler's a sophomore. He hasn't got a ton of starts. If they're able to jump on him early, if guys like, Pritchard and Kelly can, get rolling early and get a couple of big hits, put them in a hole, then they're beatable, basically, at that point. But, I mean, if you can keep them off the balance, especially with a lot of breaking stuff, they still aren't great against the sort of, soft throwing lefty with a lot of good breaking stuff. If they got somebody like that they can use on day four, then that's the way you can beat them.
And unfortunately, I think there should be a best 2 out of 3 for the championship series. It's a one game thing. Nebraska just kind of has to find lightning in a bottle, and that probably works against Indiana, because I think the longer the series, the better chances that Indiana, because they're deeper. I mean, they're just the best team in the conference. That works to Nebraska's favor, the fact that there's only one championship game. Would you not agree?
Well, it does, but I think, especially because these two teams are both going to play in a regional, these two teams are NCAA tournament blocks, I don't think they're going to complain about that. Obviously, you know, Tracy Smith, again, has made a big point from day one to say we're not going to overextend the pitching staff. They don't want to play five games, period, because this obviously is important, but they've got a Big Ten tournament, you know, a Big Ten title in their pocket right now. You know, they want to win this thing, but they don't want to kill themselves to do it. I mean, they do look at the next couple weekends as more important, and they don't want to, you know, pull out Joey Donato for a second start in a weekend when he's going to go the first game of the regional. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, in terms of fairness, if this were the be-all, end-all, yeah, they would be really upset about the concept that they could, you know, that they would only have to, that it's one game between two teams who haven't lost yet, if that's what it's going to be. But this isn't the be-all, end-all. There's a lot more baseball to be played for these teams. And, you know, because of the dynamics with pitching, they don't, you know, I do not think Tracy Smith wants to play a fifth game. I think he's, you know, he's made that very clear. If he would like to keep this thing at four regardless. And if that means they don't win the thing, that means they don't win the thing. They just don't want to go to five.
Hey, Dustin, really appreciate the time, and enjoy your stay in Omaha.
Absolutely will. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, thanks. That's Dustin Dvorak from the Bloomington Herald-Times, who obviously knows a lot about Indiana college athletics, no question about that. And if you're looking for somebody who knows a lot about cars, well, you need to go no farther than Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac. You know, the holiday weekend, good time to go out there and start looking for that new vehicle for the summer. They've got additional rebates right now on Ram trucks to go through. They'll last through the end of the month. You don't have to trade in your Ram to get a new Ram. You just have to have one to qualify for those additional discounts. Everyday low hassle prices on 500 different vehicles are available. The Midway Certified Program for a year of oil changes, 6 month, 60,000 mile warranty on the vehicle. You know you're going to have a vehicle that you can rely on, and a 2 year, 100,000 mile powertrain warranty. You're not going to have to take care of it if something does go wrong, and it won't because it's certified and they've all been checked out. But if something goes wrong, they've got you covered for that 6 month, 60,000 mile warranty on the vehicle and 100,000 miles for 2 years on the powertrain. Also, everyone will get free car washes with a purchase as long as you have the vehicle. It isn't just one time, 1 year. You've got it for the life of the vehicle, which is obviously nice this time of year. So check them out at Midway, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Complete inventory. You can check it out at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it is a better way. We need to take a break. We'll be back after this.
For a limited time at Complete Nutrition, get 30% off all weight loss products. Hurry in today and save 30% on Refirm Now, Mancor, CTS, Charger, and more. Complete Nutrition has helped thousands of people lose weight with clinically proven weight loss products that actually shrink fat cells. If you want to lose 15 to 20 pounds of fat, tone up, and be healthy, it's the perfect time to come into Complete Nutrition because all weight loss products are 30% off. Stop into a Complete Nutrition store today for a free consultation. A Complete Nutrition consultant will set you up for success by recommending which weight loss product is best for you. Achieve your ideal weight with the help from Complete Nutrition. For a limited time, all weight loss products are 30% off.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
Come on!
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
It's a place you'll be proud to belong. The Kearney Country Club, with its well-manicured 18-hole golf course, tennis courts, resort-style swimming pool, programs for all ages, as well as fine and casual dining. This year, find out how new members can partner with others to save up to 30% off a membership. Call the Kearney Country Club at 308-234-3151 for details and to set up a time to see for yourself. The Kearney Country Club.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Fast horses, top tracks, live draw keno, fantastic food, full bar. Where else but Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, your Memorial Weekend getaway. Bet on the best thoroughbred racing from 20 premier tracks. Continuous action from 11:25 daily. And you can stay over for delicious prime rib and night racing at the Finish Line, Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Purchase a membership to the Hastings Museum and feed the family dinner for free. June 3rd is membership celebration at the Hastings Museum, and you're invited with a renewal or new membership purchase. Members will also be the first to see the new summer exhibit, Cruise in the Fossil Freeway, for free. And members have the opportunity to buy tickets early to Mysteries of the Unseen World 3D, the new film for this summer. Members also receive discounts on summer fun classes for the kids. More information at hastingsmuseum.org. Life up close.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, right now it's about noon, but 5 o'clock somewhere. That would be someplace really, really east of here, I'd be my guess. But you know what? Just because it's not 5 o'clock doesn't mean we can't act like it. It's time for the Midtown Mark Cooler Question, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which of these is the following most exciting way to win a game? The football Hail Mary, the basketball buzzer beater, or the baseball walk-off? What say you, Jimmy Langan?
Oh, they're all exciting.
They're all right, yeah.
You know, none of them are much fun, though, when you lose like that.
No, not a fun way to lose.
None of them are a fun way to lose. I've been beat by a couple of those buzzer beaters at basketball, and I've won a couple of those. And, boy, I'll tell you what, athletics is sometimes it's not much fun. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you another really bad way to lose, is when you've got a horse that's going to pay quite a bit, and somebody nips him at the wire, or they take him down. The stewards decide to take him down. That's, those three aren't even close to how I feel about this other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mine is the baseball walk-off. I think baseball does the best job of building things up. And, of course, that one finished dead last. 60% thought that the Hail Mary in football, 30% with a basketball buzzer beater, and 10% with baseball's walk-off. Today's Midtown Mark Cooler Question. Do you agree with Landon Donovan being left off the U.S. World Cup squad? And it's a hot topic to kind of talk about. I would equate it to that time that you had Steve Young and you had Joe Montana on the same roster at for the 49ers, and you went with the young guy over the old guy. Or Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, if you will. Favre kind of getting pushed out for the new guy. Donovan is not the same Landon Donovan that's scored 11 World Cup goals over the course of his career, and he's the first to admit it. He's not a guy that's stirring up the controversy, but there's a lot of discussion whether or not Landon Donovan should have been removed from the team or not make the team. Because there's going to be a few guys on that roster that aren't going to step on the field and don't have the leadership that he just inherently has.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, this is why these coaches, and they make these decisions. You know, you're going to make a decision that says, hey, we're going to go with this guy instead of this guy, and those are always going to be controversial. They always are. They always will be. And when you look at the Major League All-Star game, and it's maybe not so much about winning anymore, they always bring these guys in that are like in their last year, and they're going to be, their record might be 3-6, but it's what they did over their career, and they kind of bring those guys in, and they maybe miss somebody that's 7-0 and just starting. So is that fair? I mean, to me, that's not. To me, that guy that's 7-0 and it's June 30th, he deserves to be in the All-Star game. Yeah. So this coach, I mean, I guarantee you, he knew when he was picking this team that there was going to be a controversial whatever. But, you know, he picked this. But what's come, the bottom line is going to happen is if they win and they have some success, then he's going to get off the hook. If they lose, he's not. You know, they're going to be right there. But you can help me out, but it's Ghana and Germany and
Portugal.
And yeah, so that's a tough group of teams to play. So, yeah, I think that's the bottom line. But, you know, remember when, wasn't it not too long ago when the San Francisco 49ers or the Seattle Seahawks made a controversial move at quarterback not too long ago and it didn't turn out too bad?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, again, it's part of building for the future as well, and not just this year but also 4 years down the road. A lot of stuff going on. Don't forget, every hour we do have updates for you from the state track meet. Mike Will, and another report is coming up here in just a few moments. Obviously, the state tennis tournament is still going on as well. The semifinals were today in Class B, the number one doubles team from Kearney Catholic of Shayla Connor and Morgan Studi. They lost to Lincoln Pius X, and the Grand Island Central Catholic team also was eliminated today in the semifinals, and that's Kelsey Flaherty and Catherine Golka, both of those losing in straight sets. In Class B number one singles, Michelle Messbarger lost today to Sadie Gehring of Grand Island Central Catholic. So, and I hope I'm saying Sadie's name right, because she's going to be playing for a state championship later on today. Congratulations to her. I think that Messbarger had handed her only loss of the year, but Messbarger had lost 2 of 3 to Gehring, and Gehring now plays for the state championship. I could be wrong on what they did in the regular season, but I know Gehring, she was the number 2 seed for a reason, and Messbarger was number 3 seed, so that was 6-0, 6-2. The Gehring moves on for Grand Island Central Catholic at number 1 singles in Class B. Hastings defeated Hastings St. Cecilia in the Class B number 2 doubles, so the team of, make sure I got the right one here, following it up, the player's name is Kathleen Bartunek and Sydney Landell. They're going for the Class B number 2 doubles championship later on today. And we don't have the updates from some of the other matches in Class A. They haven't hit the court just yet, so we can't get you any updates on those. But Kearney did lose to Lincoln Southwest 7-5 and 6-3 in the Class A number 2 singles. So Faith Kowalski had her season come to an end, but a nice little run there for a lot of local tennis players. Congratulations to all of them.
Randy, you did a good job today. We haven't done this for a while.
I know. Yeah,
we used to do this quite often. I think it's been maybe 6 months since you and I've been together on this. And I'm going to tell you right now, the way you did that Troutman's thing, I'll tell you what. Hey, we're missing it.
Well,
I'll tell you what. I mean, even if we might have to just tape
food,
you.
I can nail food. Yeah, I can nail food.
We're going to have to tape that. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a list of things that you like, and you're now going to be on my Christmas list just because of today. I've left you off my Christmas list here, but you're on it, the Troutman.
All right. Now you know where to shop.
I just want to see your face when I give you the gift. I'm going to have such a thrill watching how happy you're going to be to get that.
You get meat in front of me, I'm going to be a very happy man. That's absolutely no question about it. A lot of great athletics going on this weekend. I know there's Legion baseball around the area, and go out there and enjoy a little bit of the outside and enjoy yourself. We will not have a show on Monday because of Memorial Day, and we'll be back again with you on Tuesday. Certainly like to say thanks to Josh Harvey from the Big Red Report at Scout.com, as well as Dustin Dvorak of the Bloomington Herald-Times for joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, it's always great to hang out with you. Good to see you, man.
You too.
Have a good Memorial Day weekend, everybody. We'll see you back on Tuesday at 11 right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.